Hey, boys and girls, welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Calvin.
Hey, 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 it's Monty. Welcome to the Rockcast. I'm finally back with a new episode, and I know you've probably been wondering what I've been up to.
Yeah, no.
Well, I've been so busy. My wife Lindsay and I finally closed on that house we've been trying to buy. And then, of course, you have to move, and I think we all know how horrible an experience that is.
Torturous.
Well, it was going to be bad enough, but the same week that we were moving, my van decided to die for good. I went out one day, started it up, and put it into drive, and it wouldn't go forward, put it into reverse, and it wouldn't go backwards. I finally had it towed to a mechanic shop, and they told me it was going to be $2,000 or $3,000. Yeah, apparently it needed a new transmission, so I just sold the thing for $500, and they towed it away to a junkyard. And I gotta say, it made me kinda sad because that was my dad's van, and after he died, I inherited it and drove it for about 5 years. And it had a lot of good memories in it, and I'll miss it. Just like I miss my dad, but that's another story for another time. But Lindsay and I still had to move that week, so we rented a big truck for one day. And I'll tell you what, that's when you really find out who your true friends are, when you're moving. And it was then that I realized that, we don't have any friends at all. Yeah, sad and pathetic, I know, but Lindsay and I did the whole thing ourselves. And by the end of the weekend, we were just dead tired, but we got it done. And now we are proud homeowners, and of course, that's when the real hell begins. I'm now having to worry about yard work and plumbing and rodents digging up our yard. But the good part is I now have a new room for Freak Boy Studios. And it's just big enough that I was able to get the giant wheel of segments in here. And so let's give it a spin. I mean, I might as well. I've got a giant wheel inside of my house. I might as well use it. And here we go, it's starting to slow down. Wherever it stops, that's the segment I will do. And it lands on Rockcast Listener Feedback. First up, I heard from a lot of you guys who really enjoyed Jimmy Jeff on the last episode and found him quite amusing.
Yep.
And Patrick in Kansas City said that he's glad that Jimmy Jeff and his old lady are still going to concerts and getting drunk, but he doesn't understand why people would want to go to a show and get drunk and high. He says, I can understand a couple of beers or something, but getting wasted at a show you paid good money for? Personally, I like to enjoy the show and not forget it. Yeah, I'd have to agree, Patrick. I'm the same way. If I'm going to a concert, I want to soak it all in and have all those memories years later. In fact, I can tell you very specific details about shows that I went to like 25, 30 years ago.
I'm an old man!
On the other hand, I cannot tell you the answers to simple math equations, but if it's music, sports, or useless knowledge about TV or something like that, I'm your man.
You're pathetic!
Of course, there was a lot of people excited to hear that there was going to be a Galactic Cowboy reunion show August 2nd in Houston. People are buying tickets and booking their flights and anxiously awaiting the mayhem. However, there were the usual comments like, oh, why don't you come to Atlanta? Oh, why not Dallas? Oh, could you go on tour and come to New Jersey? To which I say to all those people, yeah, no.
You're mean.
As far as I know, there's not going to be a tour, probably ever. So if you want to see us, I suggest you get yourself to Houston. I know of one person that's going to make the trip, and that's me. And since I no longer own a van, I'm going to be driving a car with Lindsay for about 14 hours. But guess what? That's nothing new for us. We've driven that far to see bands that we like. Back in March, we drove from Kansas City to Texas to see Asking Alexandria, and we came as Romans. Why? Because we're fans. We love music, and there's nothing like the live concert experience. You can watch a DVD or listen to a CD, but it's just not going to be as good as if you're standing in front of a live band and they're just crushing your skull. So I hope y'all can make it to Houston because it's going to be a lot of fun. And it's the original lineup. It's not like it's the original drummer and three other guys. It's going to be Dane, Ben, Alan, and myself, and we're going to be doing stuff off the first couple albums, and you will not want to miss it.
We can't wait.
All right, I also got some feedback about the Get Off My Lawn segment that I did on the last episode. And a lot of you agreed with me on that stuff, apparently, including Eric from Orange County, who agreed with me about the police harassment. And yeah, I know cops are just doing their job and probably doing just what they're told to do. But why is it okay for them to pull us over if we're doing 10 miles over the speed limit? But I see them blowing by me doing 90 because they're chasing some guy with a headlight out. Seems to me what they're doing is a lot more dangerous than what I'm doing. Not to mention, when they finally catch that guy and pull him over to the side of the road, everybody else starts slamming on their brakes. Before you know it, there's a big traffic jam because of it. We're all late to wherever we're going, and we're all pissed off.
Get off my lawn!
Somebody else wanted to know what I thought about the whole thing with the singer from As I Lay Dying. They were this, quote, Christian metal band, and now the singer is in prison because he apparently tried to have his wife killed for hire. And now he's supposedly an atheist, and I saw people on Facebook saying he was a scumbag and that he didn't have any morals because he was an atheist and all this. And so I went and read an interview with him from prison. And I'll have to say, well, the guy really screwed up, no doubt about that.
You think?
He was on steroids, and there's really no excusing somebody who wants to kill their wife. But at the same time, I did kind of understand some of his frustration. His wife, or ex-wife, or whatever she was at the time, was trying to keep his kids away from him. And I kind of understand how painful that is. He also said he'd grown up a Christian and he'd just kind of become disillusioned with all that. And so I could kind of see how some of that could drive a person insane. So while I think the guy did something really horrible, at the same time I can't sit here and be all judgmental. He did something really bad and he's going to have to pay for it. But for me, the whole atheist versus Christian thing has nothing to do with it. I think all people are capable of doing really bad and stupid things. I've met atheists who are really good people, and I've met Christians who are complete jerks. And vice versa.
Very pointed and provocative commentary.
But moving on, I've also been getting some positive feedback about the stories I've told from my book, which I may or may never finish. And so I promised a few of you that I would give you some more of those stories. And so here we go with another excerpt from the story of my life.
I don't want that.
Now, since I just talked about the guy from As I Lay Dying having his doubts about Christianity after years of believing it, I thought I'd go back and talk a little bit about my upbringing in Christianity. You see, when I was born, my parents were Baptists, which means we were at church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and once in a while on Monday.
Ugh, Jesus!
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. My folks sang in the choir, my dad was what they called a deacon, and so we were just at church all the time, and as a kid, I was just bored out of my mind. I'd run up and down the aisles and crawl underneath the pews. And that's actually where I started my career in art, because I was so bored, I'd just draw on the little envelopes that you put your money in. And no, I didn't want to be there, but I couldn't do anything about it, because I was like five. And so for years, I just sat there and listened to these amazing stories about guys getting swallowed by whales and people on arcs. And I believed it all because my folks said, you better or you're going to go to hell.
Yes!
And I sure didn't want that. So when I was 7, I walked down to the front of the church and told the preacher that I wanted to accept Jesus into my heart and be baptized. I'm not real sure if I knew what I was doing back then, but I knew one thing. It made my parents happy. And I always wanted to please them because they were good people. And so I always did whatever they told me and believed everything they said. And so when I was about 10, when they told me, we're going to leave the Baptist church and go somewhere else because this just isn't quite spiritual enough, well, I believed it. And before you know it, we were attending church in people's houses. And I started seeing things like people speaking in tongues and demons being cast out of people. And now that I'm a parent, I think, is that really something you want a 10, 11, 12-year-old kid seeing?
No!
But that's what I was exposed to all the time, and I thought nothing of it. It was just the way we lived. And we'd drive all over the city of Phoenix, Arizona to go to revivals and all kinds of different meetings. And one time we went to see this faith healer named Catherine Kuhlman. And there were thousands of people at this place, and people were getting up out of wheelchairs and walking. And I believed it all. And now I look back and go, I wonder if that was fake.
Oh, yes.
Well, who knows? I know a lot of those people have been exposed as frauds over time, but then we believed it all. In fact, we were afraid to question anything, because if you did, you might blaspheme the Holy Spirit. So my folks kept searching and searching for the truth, and we finally ended up, believe it or not, going to this little church that met in a house that was basically run by jobless hippies. And they were always speaking in tongues and laying hands on people, and they thought everything was about demons, like if you smoked, you probably had a demon. If you looked at a woman with lust, you had a demon of lust. They were also way into like prophecy and stuff like that, the end times kind of stuff. And so one day this woman from Oregon stops by the church and tells them that she has had a prophecy that the people in this church are supposed to move to Oregon and build an end times retreat on top of a mountain. And somehow, bless their hearts and God rest their souls, my parents thought this sounded like a good idea. So my dad sold his business, we sold our car, our home, and everything we had just about, and we moved to Oregon with these hippies.
Absolutely crazy.
We ended up living out in the middle of nowhere on a farm, and when I say we, I mean myself, my folks, and 7 other people. There were 2 couples, and there were 3 guys in their 20s, and my folks had their own room, and I stayed in the other room with the other 3 guys. And they would just basically lay around all day and pray and read their Bibles. And then at night after dinner, we would usually sit in the living room and have some kind of prayer meeting.
Kill me!
There was no TV allowed. Of course, rock music was of the devil. And if I started talking about sports, one of the guys would say, hey, I think you're making sports your idol.
Crazy cuckoo!
I just accepted it all because I trusted my parents that they knew what they were doing. But I was in junior high at this point, and I was just bored out of my mind. And I think my dad felt bad for me, so he went out and bought me a horse to put on the farm. And I'd grown up a city kid, so I didn't know anything about horses, but it was cool. I named him Star, and I'd go out in the field and ride him around, and it was fun. But it was right around then that everything started getting really weird around the house. I mean, granted, the whole situation was weird, but things got really tense inside that house after my dad bought that horse.
This is where the story gets remarkably bizarre.
You see, believe it or not, the hippies actually got jealous that my dad had bought the horse from me and then it was mine. They wanted it to be this commune where everybody shared everything equally. Problem was, my dad was the only one with money or a job. So he told him, no, it's Monty's horse, end of story. Well, we soon started noticing that the others weren't speaking to us. They locked themselves in their rooms all day and wouldn't even come out. And to make a long story short, it all came to a head one night in the house after dinner when one of the guys rose to his feet and proclaimed in prophecy form that the horse that Bud bought is an abomination to God. Well, upon hearing that, my dad, my mom, and myself all got up from the table, left the house that night, and that's the last time I was ever in that place. And you don't really realize it until years later when you think back and go, wow, I was living in a cult.
How weird is that?
Of course, after we left with my dad's money, the hippies had no choice but to move back to Phoenix. I have no idea what happened to them. I don't know if they're alive or dead. But if there's any way I could see them today, I would like to sit down with them and say, hey, thanks for the mental scars. You are all a bunch of a-holes, and I'd appreciate it if you just kiss my ass.
At least you're not angry.
As for my folks, they continued to believe in Jesus and follow Christianity to the very day they died. As for me, I did what any good Christian boy would do. I learned to play guitar, got in a band, and played rock music. And in 1997, I recorded an album with Galactic Cowboys called The Horse That Bud Bought. And on that CD was the song Oregon, which was written about my experience in that cult. So there you go, another weird story from my life. When you have experiences like that in your childhood, is it any wonder why I'm such a messed up freak today?
No, it's really not.
When it's all said and done, you just have to learn from those experiences, try not to repeat those mistakes, and someday possibly write a book, if you can find the time.
Not gonna happen, is it?
Living in the
All right, giving the wheel another spin. Where it stops, nobody knows, except possibly me. And this time, by mere chance, it lands on Battle of the Bands.
Woo!
Okay, awesome. Well, this is where you, the listener, send me your songs and demos and recordings, and I play them. And then I make some smart-ass comments, and then I pick a winner. And then that person or band moves on to the next round. And to start things off, I got my good friend from Canada, John Huff. And besides being a top 10 champion, John is also a drummer in a band called Hiroshima Hearts. Or is it Hiroshima Hearts? Well, either way, John is a cool guy. And the name of the song he has sent me is Fool Me Twice.
Don't like where you're going with the things that you're showing, so
well, John tells me this is a new singer in his band, and I did hear the other one, and I gotta say, good choice, John. I like the new singer. She's got a real gritty, kind of ballsy voice. So that was John Huff in Canada with Hiroshima Hearts. And that sounded really good, but let's see what Ed in Arizona can do. A couple episodes ago, Ed sent me an instrumental song, and here he is back with another one. This is called Twisted History. Yeah, Ed, giving Buckethead a run for his money.
Who?
Yeah, have you ever heard of Buckethead?
Nope.
Yeah, the guy's just a total guitar freak. Amazing player, and he puts out a new instrumental CD almost every week. And the music's just weird as hell. And I'm not saying that that was as far out there as Buckethead, but that was definitely Twisted, Ed. And of course, I like Twisted, so good job, my friend. Next up is another instrumental song, this one from astronomer Adam in the UK. And Adam calls this Stretchy Dog. We'll be right back. very nice, Adam. I like that riff a lot. Also, nice use of the keyboards. That's very cool. Okay, just my personal opinion, Adam. I think you might want to re-record a few of those lead sections. But other than that, there was some really cool parts in this.
Don't be all nitpicky.
And finally, here's a song sent in to me by Jim Youngs in Syracuse. He says this was recorded about 10 years ago. He wrote it, played bass, and sang on it. And it's called Just Another Day. Alright, Jim, I like the bass sound. Got some of that nasty bass tone going on. Well, it's become obvious to me that the listeners of this podcast are just extremely sick and twisted. And some of you have been influenced by music that is very, very weird. And if by any small chance I had anything to do with that, well, I couldn't be happier about that. Regardless, it's time for me to decide who's going to move on to the next round. And I'm going to go with John Huff's band, who did the song Fool Me Twice. And what the hell, I'm feeling generous today, so I'm also going to go with Astronomer Adam and his instrumental song Stretchy Dog.
That's not fair.
So yes, they both move on. Congratulations. And this has been the Battle of the Bands. You know, I've always said that the rock cast is like a box of chocolates. And every time you spin the giant wheel of segments, you never know what you're gonna get. And this time, what you're gonna get is a concert review. Well, fortunately for me, I did just get back from a concert the other day, and it was the Vans Warped Tour. And let me just say right off the bat, this festival is something that 99% of you out there listening would never go to, unless it was to take your kids. And yeah, I did see some older people there this year that looked like parents, but they were not bouncing inside of the mosh pit like I was.
Weirdo!
Because you see, I am not there to take my kids. I am there because I love these bands.
Something's wrong with you.
Lindsay and I go every year. There's around 50 bands, and it's usually just hotter than hell. But once again this year, we drove from Kansas City to St. Louis. It's about a four-hour drive. And we got up there about 11 in the morning, and I gotta tell you, it was the most beautiful day of the entire year. It was about 77 degrees that day, and let me just tell you, if you've never been to Missouri in the summer, well, it's usually just completely miserable. In fact, the weather sucks all year round. In the winter, it's freezing cold with snow. In the summer, it's humid and unbearable. And in the fall and spring, you get about one nice day. And for some reason, we just happened to get Warped Tour on the nicest day of the year. So I was really looking forward to it, but the only thing that really sucks about Warped Tour is you have no idea when the bands go on. You just have to show up early, you get inside, and then you have to buy this little sheet of paper for $2 that tells when all the bands are playing. And there's about 7 or 8 stages that are all going at the same time, and sometimes a couple of your favorite bands may be playing at the very same time. In which case, you are just SOL. Well, to make a long story short, this year they decided to put almost every band I wanted to see on at 6 o'clock in the evening.
What a tragedy.
So I did miss some of them, and I was really disappointed about that. But I did get to see Yellow Card, Anne Berlin, 4 Years Strong, and Secrets. And I also got to see a band that has become my favorite band at the moment, Ice Nine Kills. They played at one of the smaller stages. I was right up front, and they were amazing.
There's nothing left that you can get back, with nothing left to try. Surrounded by choices that you don't have, now the path will turn to pain.
Of course, there was a bunch of hardcore bands playing, and I did watch a couple of them. But when I watch those kind of bands, I'm always distracted by these idiots that do this extreme moshing kind of stuff. And if you've never seen these pinheads, they kind of look like they're a guy that would be the bully at their school. And instead of watching the bands, they just flail around with their arms and legs going everywhere. And it's not like they're dancing or anything like that. They're just punching at the air. And so everyone has to just kind of back up and get out of their way. And every time I see them doing this at concerts, I just kind of stop and say a little prayer. And it goes something like this. Dear God in heaven, as I stand here watching these morons try to act like they're badasses, I just pray before I die, you would allow me to see one of these twits kick the wrong guy in the head. Preferably a big guy with no tolerance for these stupid ass little punks. And they would beat the crap out of these little kids that think it's cool to practice their karate moves at a crowded festival. Oh, please, God, just let it happen one time. Just for me. Thank you.
Amen.
Yeah, I don't know who started the whole moshing thing, but I'm pretty sure he was a total dick.
Amen!
I don't need to be pummeled to enjoy a concert. I like to bang my head and jump around a little bit, but I don't need to get beaten up. But then again, I am an old guy who probably has no business going to the Vans Warped Tour.
That's right.
Despite all that, Lindsay and I did have a good time, and we'll probably go back next year.
What's wrong with just being normal?
As if I'm Pat Sajak spinning my giant wheel once again, but instead of winning cash prizes or perhaps a car, you just get to find out what the next segment is. And in this case, it's gonna be Rapid Fire CD Reviews. Well, all right, there are a lot of new CDs out there. So let's get right to them, starting with the new one from Night Ranger.
What? Did you just say?
Yeah, you heard me correctly, Night Ranger. Oh yeah, Night Ranger is back, and they're coming to a county fair near you, or perhaps on a double bill with Pat Benatar or somebody like that. And at least three original members are still in the band, so you've got no other choice than to make a new CD. And this one is called High Road. Is it good? Well, I'll let you decide. Do I like it? No. I really liked Night Ranger's first couple of albums, I'll admit it, but I liked a lot of things back in the 80s, including Loverboy, Foreigner, and the Romantics.
Huh?
Yeah, I'll admit it, I liked the Romantics, what of it?
Hey, have you just lost it?
I hear the secrets that you keep when you're talking in your sleep.
You're smoking the pot, aren't you?
But that's neither here nor there. This is not the 80s. And even though Night Ranger is still a good band, they've got great vocals, great guitar playing, and all that, I just don't need it.
You're intolerant.
If I'm honest, I don't really need this next one either, because it's a new CD from Roudness. I mean Loudness.
Okay.
They've been around for years. They're a metal band from Japan. And all I can say about their new CD is it is ridiculous.
Ridiculous!
I've never really listened to much Loudness before, but I thought, what the heck, I'll give this new one a chance.
I don't think it's such a good idea.
As it turns out, there's a reason why I've never listened to Loudness. I don't like them.
Exactly.
Basically, it's just not my thing, but they do have a good guitar player.
Absolutely.
Now, speaking of guitar players, one of my favorite players of all time is Ted Nugent, and he has a new CD. It's called Shut Up and Jam. I'm probably one of the few people on earth that doesn't want Ted Nugent to shut up, because I like what he has to say, politically or otherwise. So I will not be saying anything bad about Ted Nugent or his CD. He's got to be 60-something by now, and he still kicks ass. Now, as a metalhead, you've got to be curious as to what the new Judas Priest sounds like, right?
I guess.
Well, here's a taste. Okay, yeah, if you feel like you've heard this before, well, you haven't. This is a new CD, man, and it's called Redeemer of Souls. This is the priest doing what they do. I'd have to say so far, I don't really like this CD. Maybe it'll grow on me, but I doubt it. Kind of feels like the same old song, same old riffs, just kind of rearranged and rehashed. There are a couple of tunes that I liked a lot, but overall, I'm going to go thumbs down on this one. And finally, a CD that I actually do like a little bit. It's the new one from Mastodon called Once More Around the Sun. The guys in Mastodon are obviously great musicians, especially the drummer, but they actually wrote some melodic hooks on this CD, and that's always good for me. Giving the Wheel of Segments one more spin, and let's see what we get. And this time it's gonna be end of show.
Finally!
Oh, well, yeah, I guess it is about that time. But I gotta say, this has been a good one.
They're all terrible.
I'm gonna wrap things up with a question from Rockcast listener Greg Skipton. And Greg wrote to say, "Hey Monty, have you ever heard of a band called Affiance?" Well, it's funny you should mention that, Greg, because the other day when I was at Warped Tour, I'm just walking around and I've got my Iron Maiden shirt on that Dan the Man Cunningham had sent to me. And like usual, people would just randomly come up to me and start talking. And this kid that looked about 20 comes up and says, "Hey, dude, Iron Maiden, did you go to that show, dude?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I saw them about a year ago. They were great." And this kid is like, "All right, man, I love the crew and Iron Maiden." And he's got like a pink mohawk, and I'm thinking, "Really?" But all day, kids would just walk by and go, "Cool shirt, dude.
What's the point of this?"
So anyway, at the end of the day, Lindsay and I are walking out the gates, heading toward the parking lot, when this guy comes up to me and says, "Hey, I like your shirt. You look like you're into metal." And I'm like, "Yeah." And he hands me this card that says Affiance on it. And I said, wait, are you in Affiance? And he goes, yeah, man, I'm the bass player. And I said, really? Well, I've heard of you guys. In fact, a guy emailed me the other day and said, have you ever heard of Affiance? And so we talked for a while, and he was a really cool guy. And so I'm going to play you out with some Affiance. And to answer your question, Greg, yeah, I've heard of Affiance. I know the bass player.
I'm impressed.
But that's going to do it for this episode of the Rockcast. I hope you enjoyed it, and I really appreciate you listening. I hope to meet you in person soon on August 2nd in Houston. But if I don't see you there, you can catch me here on the Rockcast. So until then, this is Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like unless it's me. And
rock on.
And...